Pray with me. Lord Jesus, you are risen, and that gives us hope and life, and bring that to us today. Holy Spirit, speak through your word and my words, that you would work deeper and deeper into our hearts the truth of the resurrection of Jesus and the life and the hope that it gives us. In Jesus' name, amen. How about for good measure one more time? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Are you really sure about that? Can you prove it to me? Do you really know? Or maybe, is it something you wonder about from time to time? Like, boy, you know what? People die. They stay dead. That's we know how this works. That can be a hard stretch, right? And here we are saying Christ is risen and bodily. Has that question ever made you think and wonder and doubt? Or maybe it's other deep questions of faith. Boy, I've really wrestled with this question with God that I have really trouble believing something the Bible teaches that I know. Or have you had other doubts about God that you just feel like, boy, I really haven't gotten any good answers yet? So I really enjoy today, this Sunday. It's often called Doubting Thomas Sunday, or even just Doubting Sunday for short, because that story happens the week after. And Thomas famously said, they're like, the disciples say, he's alive, we saw him, and you know, Thomas is somewhere else, and he says, no, I got to see this to believe it. No way. Unless I touch his hands and side, I will not believe it. So Thomas kind of gets lumped with skeptics and doubters. We'll talk more about that later. Not entirely true, but it opens a door for us to talk about it. I love this story because it opens a door for us to talk about the real doubts that we have in our lives and the real questions, deep questions of faith that we have struggled with. And it gives permission to say, hey, here's a disciple of Jesus wrestling with truth and questions and hard things. I have those too. Am I allowed to wrestle too? And so I wonder what those are for you. What are the things, what are the questions, what are the doubts of God and faith that you have wrestled with throughout your life? And often it's related to our pain, the ways we've been hurt, or our broken dreams, or our failures, and I'm not sure what it is for you, but often our deep doubts about God and questions of faith are related to really, really personal things. It's not just, I don't really believe that. It's often deeply personal. And sometimes we feel like we're not allowed to talk about that. We come to church and say, well, maybe, I'm doubting, not sure about, but maybe I'm not allowed to talk about that. And I think the church is the place you should be able to talk about it, because there are really good answers, and God invites that. But often we can come to church and try to impress people and say, hey, you know, I'm just a good, normal person, right? Whatever normal means. So today, we're going to look at that story of Thomas and sit with some of our own struggles, faith struggles, and doubts. So we'll do that in three parts. And the first part, the first thing I want to say is, listen to your doubts. Listen to your doubts. So the real question isn't, have you ever wrestled with God? Or have you had doubts about God or faith or something in the scriptures? I don't think that's the question, because I think if we're honest, for all of us, the answer is yes. The real question is, what are they and what do you do with them? Do you hide your doubts and pretend they're not there and just say, oh, if I just have more faith, they'll go away? Or do you try to seek answers, maybe in God's word, or seek out mature people of faith that might be able to help you think through some things? Or maybe you ask some questions sometime in your life and got, you know, bad answers. Or maybe somebody just told you, you know, just, hey, don't think about that. Just have more faith. So I'm not sure where we kind of got here, but there's often a general sense that having faith doubts is inherently bad, or you shouldn't ask tough questions. And I don't agree with that at all. I don't think we see that in the Bible at all. Because some of the greatest followers of Jesus asked some of the hardest questions. Thomas asked Jesus, are you really alive? I saw you die, so I'm having trouble believing that you're really alive. That is absolutely fair. So let me say that for anybody of deep faith, I think doubt is a real part of them walking in Christ. So anyone that I've often looked up to in faith, they've had to wrestle with some hard things and listen to their doubts. So what does that mean? I think doubt is like a coin. On one side of the coin is your doubt. You say, I'm not sure about that, or I have a question about that, or not sure I believe that. Put that on top. On the other side of the coin is belief. So doubt is one side of the coin. The other side is belief. So this might get a little heady for a minute. Everything you doubt, put that up here on one side, flip it over. You actually believe something else on the other side. So doubt is actually belief just in something else. You know, if you doubt position A, you actually have belief in position B or something else. Here's an example. You might say, you know, I really doubt God really cares about me and my life and what I'm going through. And some of you have been through really tragic things, tragic loss, long-term pain, you know, brutal, you know, divorce, hardship. You know, some of you have suffered a lot. And so I get it. You can easily say, boy, I really doubt God cares about the details of my life. But when we say that, that's the top of the coin, I doubt God's care or love, you're also saying on the other side of the coin, I believe that God isn't near to me. I believe that God doesn't take interest in my life or come near to me when life is hard. I believe God is too busy or too distant or too uncaring, or I believe God is not loving, or I guess the end of the road, you walk it far enough, I believe there is no God. Here's a second example. It's very popular to say, well, I really doubt there's just one way to God. There just can't be one true faith. No religion has a corner on the truth. Jesus can't be the only way, or some form of that. I really doubt there's just one way to God. That's a very popular thing to say, and maybe that's where you're at, and if that is you, I'm glad you're here. You're always welcome here. That statement of doubt in what the Bible teaches is actually a belief in something else. It's actually a faith statement. It's actually a doctrinal statement. It says, when you say there can't be one way to God, you're also saying, I believe the Bible to not speak truthfully in all things. I believe that other religions or certain ones are equally true or more true. Those are beliefs. So I'm not, if that's you, I'm not faulting you for it. I'm saying that for every doubt we speak, we actually have a belief underneath that. So that's why I say, listen to your doubts. Because if you look on the other side of the coin, you'll actually say, what am I actually believing on the other side? So if you listen to your own doubts in your heart, you will actually find out things that you actually believe. When the stock market tanks, do you first pray and entrust everything to God, or do you race and log in and check your 401k? Which step is first? Who or what are you trusting in to truly provide for all your needs? Or do you trust in your seniority at work to take care of you, or God, the one who gave you the job and gifted you with the skills to do that? Or do you pride yourself in your life is well kept and shiny and more put together than your neighbors? Or do you look at God and say, God, I need you in every way, and may I ever be like a young child who needs to be held in my parents' arms and baptized and reminded that I am yours because you have made me. You know, who are you looking for and looking to and trusting in for security and meaning and identity? What do you believe? So Thomas, who we're talking about today, take him for example. He lived with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He healed alongside with Jesus. He heard his teaching. He was there day and night. He saw everything. He saw through, you know, agony, the suffering and pain and death of his master, his teacher. He saw it. He believed what he saw. He had good evidence to say, Jesus died because I saw him with my own eyes. I lived it. And so Thomas's doubt was actually belief because, look, I saw this. I believe it happened because I was there. So I actually need some better evidence to believe something else. So I like Thomas in many ways for that. He's saying, look, I've seen this. I need to see something else to tell me that that's something else is true. So that's the first thing to wrap it up. Listen to your doubts because you'll find out what you actually believe. Second thing is a phrase another pastor says a lot, and so I hate to steal it, but he says it better than I can. First thing is listen to your doubts. The second thing is doubt your doubts. Tim Keller, pastor in New York, very good, written a lot of stuff. He's the one that says this a lot, so not mine, but I can't think of anything better. So he says, doubt your doubts. What do I mean by that? If you listen to them, you'll find out things you actually believe, and then doubt them. When you say, I doubt God really cares about me, I've had a rough season, I feel abandoned by God, or I've been depressed for a really long time, and it just seems like God's not there. I doubt God cares, or that I doubt God's really, if that's you, like I said, glad you're here, and you're always welcome. Are you willing to doubt that? If you say, I doubt God really loves me or cares about me, are you willing to consider that that might be wrong? Are you willing to change your mind about that? Are you willing to seek evidence that might prove that wrong? Are you willing to consider that maybe God just might love you and care about you, even the details of your life, even though you've been through so much? And even though you feel, even if it's shame and guilt over things you've done or hurt and abandonment, are you willing to consider that your doubts might not be entirely right? So are you willing to doubt your doubts? Are you willing to consider better evidence to believe something else? So first, listen to your doubts. Second, doubt your doubts. Maybe those aren't true. And then the third thing is take them to Jesus. He can handle it. He wants to handle it. Take all of your doubts to Jesus. Take them to Jesus. Jesus can handle the deepest doubts and the hardest questions you will ever have. Thomas did that. On the first Easter, Jesus appears to his disciples that night. They were hiding. They had their doors locked. It says, for fear of the Jews. Perfectly understandable fear. 3 days earlier, they see their master arrested, falsely charged, tortured, brutally executed by crucifixion by the Romans, with all the Jewish leaders standing by cheering, and they're thinking, they're coming for us. Yet they saw Jesus that morning and don't know how to, they're still kind of figuring it all out, and they don't know. They saw the empty tomb, the stone rolled away. What does this mean? Is it true? That's all new and fresh. And yet they probably have a new fear. They all abandoned Jesus. They disowned him. They ran away. They hid. They fled like cowards. Maybe they're hiding in guilt and shame. And Jesus appears to them and he says, over and over again, he says, peace be with you. So to their guilt and to their shame and to their fear and to their hiding, Jesus doesn't come and tell them what they've done wrong. He comes and says, peace be with you. And then immediately that on Easter, Jesus shows them his hands inside. Look, I'm alive. You're forgiven. You have new life. But Thomas wasn't there. He was on the annual father-son fishing trip or a travel soccer tournament. I don't know which one it was. But he wasn't there. So the disciples are like, Thomas, you'll never believe what just happened. And Thomas says, you're right. I won't. I saw him die. I need better evidence to change what I believe. And Thomas only asks for what Jesus has already done for them. It says Jesus showed him his hands and side. Thomas is saying, hey, I just want what you have experienced. So Thomas, I don't think, isn't this, naysayer rank skeptic. He isn't just the prove it to me guy, about everything. He saw Jesus die. He needs to see something better, more evidence to believe that he's alive. And Jesus gives that to him. Jesus appears and says, Thomas, reach out, touch me. Touch my hands and side. Stop. And then Jesus says, stop doubting and believe. Here is your evidence. It's true. I am alive. And then Thomas blurts out, my Lord and my God. One of the great statements of faith of Jesus as God with us. But yet Jesus doesn't chastise Thomas. He doesn't yell. He doesn't lecture him. He actually granted his request. So Thomas comes with this bold doubt of, I'm never going to believe this unless I, and Jesus doesn't all say, just have more faith. You know, what's your problem? He actually shows up and says, here's your evidence. Take your doubts, your fears, your take it to me. Here I am, and I will show you. I am the truth. There's a great painting from around, I think it's 1600, Caravaggio, Italian Renaissance painter. And he shows Jesus taking Thomas' hand and literally putting it in his side. And it's pretty pretty graphic because he like has his index finger like shove it into his side. And you can see kind of the skin fold. And he's like knuckle deep into Jesus. And you're like, it catches you. And you're like, that's right. Jesus saying, I am alive. Here's where I died and bled for you. And here I am. Believe. Do you know what happens to Thomas later in his life? Thomas today is the unofficial patron saint of a country. Anybody know? It's not anything European. It's not Italy. It's not France. It's not Israel. It's not even Egypt. It's India. Around 50 AD, as church historians wrote a few centuries later, Thomas goes to India. He was so convinced that people in India should know that Jesus Christ died and rose for them too, he went there to tell them. Thomas was so convinced that Jesus truly was risen from the dead. He is God with us, God who loves you so much that he would die and rise for you to save you and bring you back into his family and into his kingdom, that he goes all the way to India because his heart burned for them to have that joy of Jesus too. So that doesn't sound like a naysayer skeptic to me. That sounds like somebody who deep down wanted to know the truth, found the truth, and it changed his life. And Thomas is eventually killed there, martyred precisely for preaching about Jesus, crucified and risen for them and for you. So, take your doubts to Jesus. Whatever they are today, Jesus can handle them. Jesus wants to handle them. And Jesus wants you, like Thomas, to reach out and touch his hands and side and to see and to believe. And when you reach out and touch Jesus' hands inside, you'll see that God loves you more than you'll ever fully know. You'll see the God who is absolutely unwilling to abandon you, even if you abandon God. In Jesus, you'll see the God who defeats your enemies, takes on your sin, your shame, your guilt, defeats death itself, and rises from the dead to bring reconciliation in every way to this world. And when you reach out and touch Jesus' hands inside, you'll see the God who loves you even when life is hard. And you'll see the God who loves you enough not just to send a messenger from India, but to send his son from heaven to earth to bring you back into God's family. So instead of ignoring whatever those deep doubts and hard questions are, invite them, listen to them, doubt them, and with Thomas, take them to Jesus. Be careful, though. You might end up in India.